AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Now, stop humming, it's everything to change. That warp to make you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop humming, intros always. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back into America's Game, episode 117. I'm your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on X at Eric Vanek NFL. And as promised, once again, I am joined by my man, Matty Kiwu. Matty, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Ian? I'm glad you have me back so we can make sure we get through all the positions. We just can't keep it brief, me and you, brother. We just can't keep it short.
I think it's just the theme of this podcast. We can't keep it on point with anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. But yeah, man, it's week 9 we're getting into. Had some more injuries again this week. Like Scadabo snapped his fucking twig in half, and you know, so another brutal round of injuries, man. It kind of sucks.
I know. It couldn't happen to like a. It happened to one of a was someone that was going to be like a fan favorite if he wasn't already. Just the way he plays and shit, he was awesome, and he was just delivering big numbers. And it's funny because like my wife rosters him in her league, and she was like, oh, "I got hurt." I was like, "Yeah, but I mean." He went out on a shield. He got you double-digit points before he went out. I mean, that's how a real OG does it. You know, still gets done for you in the week he gets hurt.
Yeah, I laughed at somebody's comment that said, damn, I didn't have snapped ankle on my bingo card for his injuries. I thought CTE would have got him first.
It was bad, too. I mean, the true details are coming out now. I mean, he messed up an ankle as bad as you can mess up an ankle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be... I'm going to guess probably next year is not going to be a great year. So I'm going to try, at least a redraft, I'm going to avoid him just because, I mean, we've seen, you know, Dak come back from a snapped ankle like that, and it took him a little bit. Tony Pollard, I think that was a broken leg, not an ankle, but still. Pacheco last year, like, it does take a little bit of time to get back from it. And like you said, it's a pretty brutal injury. I can't imagine he didn't tear any, like, ligaments and stuff, too, you know? Like, I don't know. Did you know the exact details of everything? Or
I could pull it up, too, because it had been tweeted about a little bit.
Like, okay. Because I couldn't imagine.
Like a clean sweep.
Yeah, of everything, yeah. Because I can't imagine that he didn't tear ligaments and stuff, too, with the way that it was looking. So I could only imagine that not going to be the best case scenario there for Scadabo. But
I did see a hilarious video. You know that what's that app that people are using now? The AI that is just
Like Sora or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, they did one with Bo Scadabo scoring a touchdown from a chair, like from a wheelchair, like running it in that shit.
Dude, I love those videos. I laugh my ass off at the Bob Barker ones. I keep getting on my feed, dude. And they're just great.
They're unbelievably they're not realistic enough where you're completely fooled, but they are realistic enough for you to have to double take or for a second be like, whoa, oh, okay.
Right. Like, most of the content is funny shit. So, like, you know, it's not real. Like, you know, I've seen Bob Barker with fucking Tyrone Biggums from fucking from Chappelle's show. Chappelle, yeah. Here's a brand new crack rock, you know, shit like that. And hey, Kobe Bryant, hey, we got you a helicopter, you know, shit like that. Yep. Just funny shit people are fucking doing. But yeah, back on topic here. Yeah, a lot of injuries again, kind of brutal. So, you know, Scadabo, I'm not expecting him to, you know, be fully ready to start next year because that's a brutal injury. Other than that, we didn't have anything too crazy injury-wise. Right. But I think we're starting to see some teams that are kind of separating themselves from the pack. You know, you just kind of look at the AFC a little bit, like the Chiefs and the Colts, I think, are probably the in Buffalo, I guess, too. We're going to find out this week between the Chiefs and the Bills who, mm-hmm. you know, who's looking really good here. But, I mean, the Patriots are up there, too, man. Your Patriots are 6-2. They're right up there. Same points for, same a lot points allowed, you know, as Buffalo. So they're a really good team. Already beat Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a really interesting one. And, you know, Denver 6-2, Chargers 5-3. So yeah, there's like five or six good teams here, in the AFC for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're already at the point of the season too, where you know, this we talked about this last episode, which is kind of why we did the Dynasty rankings update. Now is like this is the part of the year where, like, you know, sample sizes become big enough, decisions can be made off these sample sizes that, you know, the stats are starting to materialize, the playoff pictures, the team outlooks, the game plans, all of these pictures are starting to get a little bit more clear. And I did find the full details of the Scadabo injury, dislocated ankle as we saw, fibula fracture, a deltoid ligament rupture. Yeah, this is going to be a tough bounce back. Yeah. He's going to give it his all, and there are going to be, you know, reports that he's ahead of schedule and that he's out working the healing, obviously all that stuff will be out there. But a guy who didn't have the most athleticism, you can kind of, I don't think you could bet on it being back for another 18-20 months.
Yeah. I mean, remember all the stuff in the off season. Hey, Brandon Ayuk way ahead of schedule. He's looking great.
Right. Right. Where is he?
Haven't seen a fucking snap of Brandon Ayuk yet this year. Yep. But yeah, like I think the top seven, honestly, for the playoffs, is kind of locked in here. I mean, there might be Jacksonville could maybe sneak in there. If the Bengals get super hot, the Ravens get super hot, they could sneak in. But, I mean, it's the Patriots and the Bills. Whoever's going to, you know, one of those is going to be the wild card. One's going to win the East. Steelers, I think they're probably the favorite, but Bengals or Ravens could sneak in there. Mm-hmm. Colts got the South locked up. And then the West, like, I think it's, you get all three in, Denver, L.A., and Kansas City. I think all three get in. So, I mean, that's pretty much locked up there. And then kind of just looking at the NFC here, too, Philly's got a three-game lead, basically, in the NFC East. They should be good there. You know, the NFC North, which we predicted was going to be a bloodbath, and it is. Packers, Lions, Bears are right there. Tampa Bay probably runs away with the South like we all expected. And then the NFC West, I mean, they're all 5-2, and San Francisco's 5-3. So that's going to be a battle. We're probably going to get two teams from the NFC West again in the wild card, and probably one NFC North team. So Dallas could get hot. So, yeah, it's starting to definitely mesh together here, and we can kind of figure out who's real and who's not.
We start making some of these decisions in Dynasty of who we want to move on from, who we want to invest in. You know, this is a fun part of the time because we're in kind of the drudges. You know, you and I play a lot of redraft. We do the walkthrough together where it's a redraft kind of centric show. So there are definitely leagues where this time of year stinks. You know, the trade market's slow. Teams might not be checking. Maybe they've just kind of slowed off. All this stuff kind of happens in that format. But in Dynasty, man, we're getting to that hot part of the season where teams want to capitalize on trading a two-week quarterback starter. People want to capitalize on the boost in value that Tyron Tracy has on their 1-6 team. You know, all these things are starting to come together. So it's a fun time for Dynasty, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, redraft and Dynasty, it's definitely a good time right now. The other thing, too, is, you know, we kind of talked about it last week, is there's definitely some leagues that are starting out there that are the midway through halfway point of the year. They're like, oh, man, let's start a new Dynasty League. And, you know, you get a couple of guys together there, you start your new Dynasty League. And that's kind of why I wanted to update these, you know, dynasty rankings that you can find over patreon.com/SouthHarmon. You join our Discord. You join the $8 tier, and you can get access to our dynasty rankings. So mine are in there. I'm updating them weekly in here, so you can kind of see how things are going. And I kind of wanted to go over the wide receivers and tight ends with you this week, since we did quarterbacks, running backs. I got a lot of good feedback on that episode that they enjoyed our like conversation part of that. So we're gonna do it again this week.
Yes, sir.
So let's get into wide receivers here. So we did kind of talk a little bit about wide receivers last week because you had asked me about JSN. Right. I did move him up a couple spots after you kind of talked me into it. But I feel pretty good about my top eight or so. Mm-hmm. I still have Chase there, Jefferson, Lamb, Puka, Amon-Ra. That's my top five. JSN, Abuka, Neighbors, that's my top eight, and that's going to be the first two tiers too. So you think the first two tiers are pretty good there?
I think the names are good. I mean, we talked about it last week too. You could make the argument that just one massive tier of eight receivers that you would love to build a roster around in Dynasty. But just, you know, where you have it split makes a ton of sense. Jackson does this for the rest of the year. I imagine he kind of jumps into that first tier for you. So I think the process is there. The names are there. I do have a question for you because this is like a bit of a Dynasty echo that we're starting to see throughout fantasy football. Are we at all worried about the apparent drop off of Igbuka? You know, there was some inflated stats in that, you know, first five or six games in terms of just some of it felt a little fluky when you looked at the analytics side of things. And now we've seen a huge fall off, even though the volume's been ridiculous over these last 2 weeks, 21 targets. Are you worried about that at all? Or are you just kind of chalking it up to the Bucs injury situation, his injury situation, and this ship will right pretty soon after the bye?
Yeah, I think it's a lot to do with the injury situation. Like, Godwin's been missing, Evans has been missing, Bucky Irving's been out, the offensive line's been banged up. So, like, they are missing a lot of pieces. And pretty much all the defenses are kind of focusing on Ibuka here. It's not like, you know, Rashad White is coming here and running for 120 yards a game.
No, he's falling off big time.
Yeah, so I think a lot of defenses are focusing on Igbuka, so I think that's definitely not helping. But after the bye here, everybody gets their week off. Hopefully Evans is out for the year. Godwin, get him right, hopefully, after the bye here. And I think Ibuka's still going to be good. Like, these super talented. Could I maybe argue he should be a couple spots back here? Like, could you do Drake London or Nico Collins ahead of him, Rashee Rice? Absolutely. Like, I don't think it's that far of a drop-off.
Yeah, Rice would be the guy for me that I think could sneak up. But I want to say this about Igbuka. It's not Igbuka's fault that we've seen a drop-off. It's Baker's fault. And I don't mean that, you know, to be, you know, throwing shade at Baker, but a guy who, you know, his metrics on his deep ball last year was elite. I mean, it was top five in the NFL. This year, it's way, way, way down. And that explains the some of these games, because Igbuka, even when he was going off, you hate to see the 7-for-4, but scores. You hate to see the 10 targets, 4 catches, but it was for 101 and a touchdown. You hate to see that Will Fuller crap. You just hate to see that. And now we're seeing the 12 targets, 4 catches, 58 yards, 9 targets, 3 catches. So we're seeing a lot of inaccurate targets going his way. What I'm hoping for in this offense, now that Evans is out, that they recalibrate, let Tez Johnson take these deep shots and use Igbuka like they did with Godwin last year, where let's get the A dot down a little bit. Let's convert on more of these receptions. Let him use a separation. Let him run with the ball. Because we saw last year when Godwin was in that role, I mean, his warp was off the charts. He was one of the most valuable players in all of fantasy, let alone position. Didn't matter. He was on fire. So I hope coming out of the bye, they kind of adapt the offense to look a little more like that. And then when Godwin comes back, just sprinkle him in as you can, because we've seen now, you know, a guy like JSN be able to kind of dial it back, make it more efficient, still attack downfield with a guy like Cooper Kupp, because we thought they were going to, you know, take over each other's job, you know, take each other's position, take each other's targets. I think we could see a superior player, a younger player in Igbuka, you know, supersede Godwin, but Godwin still help the overall process of the offense. But I'd like to see them dial back the deep shots and just kind of get him the rock where he can make plays too, because I just hate seeing these inefficient games.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have them. Like, you know, every guy's going to have
it's going to happen for sure.
Games. So, I'm not too worried about it. He's still a hell of a player. And, mm-hmm. you know, the way you look at keep trade cut and the way people value these players, like, he's mm-hmm. going to be, you know, a top 10 asset in the wide receiver position easily for everybody. So, you know, if you do want to move off of him, if you don't believe, I think you can still get a pretty damn good haul for him, even though he's on a bye this week. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to sell him, you could. And then, yeah, some of the other guys I moved up recently, I moved up Rashee Rice pretty far. Yeah. I mean, not like he was that far down, but I moved him up about 10 spots or so. Just, you know, the injuries are...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The suspension is passed, all that stuff. He's got all that clear, and it's clear that, you know, he's the biggest part of their offense. So going forward, 25-year-old attached to Patrick Mahomes, sign me up. You know, I moved him up above. I moved him above Rome. I moved him above Brian Thomas Jr. So, yeah, he's ready to go. Speaking of Brian Thomas Jr., he's one that's kind of fallen since the start of the season. Like, he had a tremendous rookie season. A lot of it had to do with Mac Jones. What do you kind of think of Brian Thomas Jr. and, you know, kind of being attached to Trevor Lawrence? Do you think after this bye week they're going to finally get it right and going? Or do you think it's, you know, a problem with BTJ or Lawrence or the offense? What do you think it is?
I think it's a little bit of, you know, regression to the mean. I think last year he kind of outkicked, you know, a lot of his drop metrics. He just kind of had a lot of things go his way, and now we're just seeing the overcorrection. I see better days ahead for Brian Thomas Jr. The thing that really comes into play for me, and it could be nothing, it could be a lot, you know, are we going to start hoping for a trade? And could that help not one, but two players for us in Dynasty? Because that's kind of where I wanted to take the conversation when we're talking about the Jaguars receivers. Because Thomas, he's still very talented. I mean, he has all of the boxes checked in terms of early production in the NFL, athletic profile, size, frame, draft capital, offense, offensive surrounding situation. All of it is there. So I'm not giving up on him. I think you haven't, like, I think you did a good job here of giving credit to the receivers who've earned better positions. And, you know, that comes at the expense of somebody. There's only a certain amount of numbers, so he fell. I think that makes sense, have him at 13. I think the tier break, we'll talk about here in a second, makes a ton of sense. But I want to ask you, if we're playing this game, if we're playing Dynasty, are we hoping for a Brian Thomas Jr. trade? Because not only of the drops, I think the drops will kind of normalize, but they're not going to go away. But also just the fit in terms of this offense doesn't quite seem to be working. I mean, the reports don't just come out of left field for no reason, right? Like, if there is any smoke to this, should we hope that there's fire?
I don't think they're going to move him. I think it probably was floated by maybe another team trying to get him or something, maybe drum up some interest there. I just don't see them moving him. I'm not too worried about Brian Thomas. He's too damn good to you know, be struggling like this. So honestly, I'm not too worried about it. I think I'm just more worried about Trevor Lawrence. I just don't think Trevor Lawrence is that guy that's going to be able to carry everybody. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm more worried about personally.
Yeah, I still could see, but again, you know me, Evie, you know how much of a Travis Hunter believer I've been for a while. And I can't help but think that these reports were leaked because they do want to indeed move on. I don't think that they will, because I don't think that the market will satisfy their price. They just took this guy in the first round. He's done everything to be a first-round pick. If there's no one out there offering first-round plus, they're not going to move him. Doesn't make any sense. But if they did, if my New England Patriots picked up the phone, offered a first this year and a third next year, offered to, you know, maybe help them get a little of that draft capital that they lost trading up for Travis Hunter. I do think that there is a desire to move off of Brian Thomas. And so that doesn't hurt my evaluation of Thomas, but it definitely gives a little bit of a window for Travis Hunter that we could talk about him now in your ranks and kind of how we see it, or we could wait till we get to him in the rankings. I'll let you pick here. But I think that if you have been holding out hope for Travis Hunter, this game coming out of the bye is massive to see how this looks with potentially Travis Hunter being the wide receiver one.
Yeah, no, we can continue with Hunter because that's a good one to leap off to next. And, you know, I've moved him down quite a bit. He was in my top 12, I believe, mm-hmm. before the season, and I've moved him down quite a bit just because of the uncertainty. I hadn't updated these since, you know, he had that the London game where he went 8 for 101 or whatever, so mm-hmm. these haven't been changed since then, so I've kind of have left them. I have him at 27 right now. He should probably be a little bit higher, but I think it's going to have to a lot to do how the rest of the season plays out, how he looks. I think he's super talented. I think Brian Thomas is super talented. I think it's a Trevor Lawrence thing, to be honest with you.
If we come out of the bye and just usage wise, it doesn't matter, you know, never mind the actual surface stats, because again, Trevor Lawrence is probably not going to be the guy that elevates both receivers consistently. But if we just see a pattern of usage over this next month that looks a lot like, you know, Travis Hunter being the Jamar Chase, getting the lion's share of targets, being the guy that the offense goes through, and Brian Thomas falls into the T. Higgins role, what would be your thoughts on Brian Thomas? Like, would that be, if I told you that was exactly how it was going to play out, he was going to resort back to the wide receiver two like he was at LSU behind Malik Nabers, he's going to be the T. Higgins, would you kick yourself in the ass for not trading him now at probably top 15 value? Or are you okay? Because even that floor is still pretty damn good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would, like you kind of mentioned, T. Higgins, I'd probably value him in that range of where T. Higgins is at, and it's not that far off from where I have him now. So
I think that's a lesson for the Dynasty gamers, like, don't freak sell. If you're selling, make sure you're getting 90, 95. Hold out for more. Try to get more than his value, just like the Jaguars are, because even if things flip-flop and we see a universal switch where Travis Hunter is the highlighted wide receiver one and Brian Thomas is the deep ball, you know, 4 or 5 targets a game player, that still could mean 4 for 55 in 2 touchdowns. That could be 4 for 105 in 2 touchdowns. Brian Thomas is still going to be good. And like you said, looking at your rankings, I won't reveal what you got T. Higgins, but it's still at a very, very valuable range. So Brian Thomas's floor looks like T. Higgins, which means if you do roster him, do not panic sell in Dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, Higgins is still in my top 20, so I think that's right. He's deserving of being there. Hunter definitely could be in the top 20 again. I just need to see more of it. Like, I, you know, they are down 35-7, and he's getting, you know, all these targets late in the game against the Rams the other two Sundays mm-hmm. ago now when they were playing in London. So want to see a little bit more of that. Another one that I moved up quite a bit, so I was always the Matthew Golden over Tet McMillan one. I admit that was wrong mm-hmm. now, looking back in hindsight. And so I've moved Tet up quite a bit. I have him basically after the first 3 tiers, and he's the number one in tier 4. I have him above most of these guys that we've been talking about so far, you know, the T. Higgins and the Travis Hunters of the world. I have him leading off tier 4. At 14, and that's Tetteroa McMillan.
I mean, Tet McMillan, there's not a lot of rosters out there, I would say, that are, you know, gloating that they have Tet McMillan. But I think when they looked at his actual profile, I mean, wide receiver 18, he ain't mad about it. But I think what you could be encouraged by is just the usage as an alpha. 63 targets on the year. He's only caught 37 of them. He's good. That number should come up. Like, the targets should stay. The catches should come up. And at the end of the day, he's Bryce Young. So he is probably hindered a little bit by his quarterback. But is he quarterback proof? He might be. I mean, Andy Dalton had 2 points last week in fantasy, and he's still at 16.
Yeah.
So Tet McMillan has shown enough for me that if you have any chance to buy in, and, you know, the person who manages, the manager that rosters him is kind of putting him in the, you know, 25 to 30 range, I'll buy it. I'll pay up a little bit. Even if, you know, the manager that rosters him think he's a top 18, top 20 guy, I'd still pay up because you got him at 14, and I think he is knocking on that door to move up a tier, you know, into the Roma Dunze, Rashi Rice, Drake London tier. He is knocking on that door, and if he were to get a, you know, if his QB were to improve, whether it be Bryce Young or somebody else, I feel like he's just going to be a guy that's just, you know, you're getting it now, and the trajectory looks like it's going to go up and up.
So if I told you to buy Tet McMillan, it's going to be these prices. Would you do Devontae Smith and your 26 first?
If I was acquiring Tet for Devontae Smith and a 26 first, assuming I'm competing?
Yeah, you're buying. Yeah, you're buying Tet. You're on a competing team. Yep. So your first is probably going to be back end.
Yeah, I'd be okay doing that. I know it's tough to say that because if you're competing, you've definitely relied upon the Slim Reaper to come through like he has over these last couple of weeks. But in just terms of you know, acquiring the better asset, I do think that there's a lot of room to be had. I think you're getting a lot of value. I think you're getting late first improvement in terms of value from Tetteroa and McMillan. And I don't know if you see the lulls over the course of the next couple of years as you see in Devontae Smith.
How about DK Metcalf and your 26 first for Tet?
I think DK Metcalf is my biggest sell right now. He's just being so, I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, you can expect TD inflation, but I just will always sell a player who's 4 for 40 and a touchdown, and he ends up being wide receiver 17 on the year because of it. So I think that's a no-brainer for me. I think you really kind of neutralize the upside in that deal, and you kind of take all of it. Whereas Devontae Smith, you are given a little bit more of that upside juice. You're given a little bit more. So I'm more likely to do DK.
Okay. How about George Pickens in a first?
George Pickens in a first is tough because George Pickens is still pretty damn young. I mean, all these guys are relatively young, but he's not even 25 yet. There is uncertainty in terms of where he'll play football in the near future, but as of right now, he's on the Cowboys. It looks great. So I don't think I would do that. I think if I'm contending, George Pickens has been so good for me that the first I'd rather use that asset to get better somewhere else.
Okay. I think that's fair. Another guy that's kind of been struggling since he's come into the NFL, he's had some good games, had some bad games. I still have him pretty high just because I know the talent is there, but Marvin Harrison Jr. Hasn't had like the greatest season, but I kind of think he's in the same exact thing that we've talked about here with Brian Thomas Jr., with Tet McMillan. It's the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kyler Murray's very good. So what are your kind of thoughts here on Marvin Harrison Jr. going forward? Do you think he kind of needs a new quarterback, or do you think he's all right here? Have you liked what you've seen from him so far?
I think we were a little bit over our skis with Marvin Harrison. You know, go look back through your sleeper notifications, your DMs. I'm sure some of the trades you declined for that pick or that player early on, you'll probably go ahead and be a little bit regretful of those decisions. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think you kind of have a holding pattern with Marv because the market's not going to give you what he deserves. And he is just a quarterback upgrade away from being a lot better. I think we've seen enough both from him and Kyler. Kyler's very accurate, but he doesn't really... He doesn't throw the ball to his guys in a way that even Sam Darnold's showing that he could do this year, if you know what I'm saying. Like force feed when you need it, let the guy make the play, let him win. And I know like he had a little bit of the yips earlier this year, but I still think he is a player that will see his better days ahead. There's still some nuclear games ahead. He maybe even coming out of the bye. And I don't think that Kyler is going to be the Cardinals quarterback next year, pending a huge run, a hot run at the end of this season. So I think you could see a QB upgrade. And what we've come to find out for us in fantasy land over these last few years is you could take a downgrade in terms of the quarterback for fantasy. If he's just more of a passer, your guy can get elevated. Your pass catcher can get boosted. I mean, look what Joe Flacco's doing. Look what Sam Darnold's doing for JSN. These guys who aren't necessarily better fantasy players because they don't run, they don't have like the high touchdown totals. As long as they show the competency to get it to the guy, I think Marv is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of look at, Trey McBride's kind of like the number one option on that offense too. And then you mentioned about Kyler. Is he even the quarterback next year? there's a, I was listening to another podcast where it won't cost a whole ton of money to move off of Kyler Murray. Like, all of that money has been pretty much paid off already. So, really, really interesting to see, hey, maybe Kyler Murray, you know, gets traded this offseason. I think that's a possibility. And then you look at Jacoby Brissett. He's come in and run the offense 2 weeks in a row pretty damn good. Like, they beat somebody they weren't supposed to beat, I thought. And then, or maybe that was the Packers game and they kind of were pretty close there.
I think they lost both games, but they competed. Yeah, like, they competed against the Colts, right? They were competitive.
That's what was Colts.
It was competitive. They got beat, but they were competitive.
Yeah and the Packers, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so both games were pretty competitive. So, like, you know, Jacoby Brissett, he's a top 10 backup quarterback in the league, but even a small upgrade from him, like, what if they were the ones that bought Darnold? You know, they could be looking really good right now. So I think that's definitely a possibility. They could be looking for a quarterback upgrade this offseason, and it could get better here for Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think I'm maybe still a little high on him just because I, you know, being an Ohio State fan, I've seen all the stuff that he can do. I know it's there. Right. I think he just needs that upgrade, and once he gets it, he'll be all right. Go ahead.
No, I don't think his market is going to get you where you want to be anyway. Like, are you going to move him for Jalen Waddle, who's hot right now? Like,
no.
Doesn't feel right in terms of that. Because, I mean, you're probably not looking to kind of liquidate assets or consolidate assets to win now if you've been relying on Marv. Now, if you can move him plus a piece to get Rashi Rice, you know, that's something I would do. But I think any Dynasty gamer knows that, like, when they're going for it, when you're in the hunt, those are the type of spears that you sharpen.
Okay. Anybody else in this tier four that I have in front of you? Anybody that you want to talk about before we move on?
Yeah, a back to back pairing here. Actually, yeah, back to back pairing. I'll call it is. You got Ricky Pearsall at 21, Chris Olave at 22.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're in the right tier. I would have Olave a few spots ahead, and I would say just the target share, what he's warranted in the Saints offense, I think has been impressive. If he were to be traded in the offseason, that could translate with a better offense, and you could see him take that next step up. And for Pearsall, we've seen it in flashes, but this team that feels like to me that it's just going to be a race to who can get back first and who can get comfortable with the quarterback. Is it Mac Jones? Is it Brock Purdy? What do they do? There's so much up in flux here that if I did have Pearsall and I could move him for a Xavier Worthy, a T. Higgins, a Marvin Harrison, I'm going to do it. And you have them in the same tier. So I think the ranking's fine because the tier makes sense. It's a big tier for a reason. There's a lot of good players. Because, you know, people also have to realize, like, when you do these ranks, you are doing it so that you can help the people looking at them without you being there to talk about it. And tearing it off helps you do that. So I think you have him in the right tier. But it's just a cool example of back-to-back in the rankings. One guy I'd be looking to maybe even add. One guy I'd be looking to sell. And they're both right around the same ranking, 21, 22.
Yeah. With Pearsall, this ranking is kind of – I expect him to kind of be here when he gets healthy. Yeah. Like, you know, not being healthy right now, I can obviously sink him in 5, 6, 7, 8 spots. And – I think once he gets back, like, he's going to be the guy. Like, he was, you know, I think he had, like, 8 for 114 before he got hurt or whatever, his knee injury.
But he was the only guy in town at that point. Like, there was no way.
Right.
Kittle was hurt. So, I mean, I just wonder if, even if they all come back, is it a race to who can establish himself as pass catcher one? Because they're all playmaker number two after Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit of a flaw in my thinking too, because I tend to like the route running guys,
and
we've seen with Golden and Tet McMillan that's not working out. So, like, Golden is a very good route runner. If you look at Matt Harmon's reception perception stuff, like, all of Golden's stats and all that so far this year are really good when it comes to EPA and per target, all that shit. But he's not getting targeted. That's the problem. And he's, you know, one of the top receivers in some of those categories, but he's just not getting targeted. So I'm hoping with, you know, when Pearsall gets back here, he'll start getting going, and he's a really good route runner. So it could be something where I'm a little bit flawed on that. We'll drop down to tier five. Devontae Smith, Michael Pittman Jr., who I've moved up quite a bit, and Jalen Waddle lead off that tier. This is a lot of like the, you know, guys that are just right outside like the number two type options on their team. Some of these guys are number ones on their team, but it's like the really good number twos, the older number ones, your Cortland Suttons, your Terry McLaurins, those types. But the one guy that I've had to move up quite a bit, and he is been struggling the last 2 weeks coming back from injury, but you know, he started off the year on gangbusters. It was Quentin Johnston. Mm-hmm. What do you think of QJ and how he's done this year? And do you think he kind of justifies being in this top 40 ranking?
I don't think he will be by the end of the year. I think what we saw was just the stars aligning. And I will admit that is a bias, an evaluation that I've had on this player. I'm just going to keep it consistent. I didn't get too high, haven't gotten too low. So I'm just going to kind of place him back where I thought he was. And it's really not anything that I'm seeing like in his analytical profile. It's just more of just where you see him in terms of usage. You just look at this team, and when push comes to shove, you know, these games are going to start getting, you know, it's nut cutting time. Like you mentioned earlier in the show, the playoff picture is getting set. And I just think that when the Los Angeles Chargers take the field and try to win football games, it's just, I mean, who are you going to throw it to when it's on the line? I mean, you got Ladd McConkey, you have Keenan Allen, and now you have Aronde Gadsden. And then behind it, you have Trey Harris. Omarion Hampton's going to come back, but still, Kimani Vidal's handled the workload while in his absence. It just feels like he's been reduced back into the role that maybe he was always destined to play, which is deep shot guy. Let's see if he converts, because remember how this all started too, EV. This all started week one, 5 for 79 and 2 touchdowns, which is one of those stat lines that like you and I were not going to get all that excited about. We just talked about how much we like the route runners, high volume target guys. Maybe it was just going to be, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot of 3 touchdowns in the first 2 games, 4 touchdowns in the first 4 games type of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, just some of the guys I have him above, though, I can justify him over all of them. So
you can. This is where it gets murky. This tier is definitely where it gets the murky.
Yeah, he's still young. It's not like he's old at all. Like, he's attached to a top 5 quarterback in the league, in my opinion. You know, top 5 on the field, top 5 off the field, too. Lucky son of a bitch. with Madison Pierre. But,
stud quarterbacks be doing stud quarterback things. You got to love it.
Yeah, for sure. QJ, though, he's... I can't move him back to where I had him because he was in like my 80s. So he's one of my one that I moved up quite a bit because I was just completely wrong. I just thought with the Trey Harris being in there, like, oh, Trey Harris is going to definitely overtake him. And that didn't happen at all. Trey Harris is starting to come along a little bit, but, you know, Keenan Allen still has some in the tank. Like, it's not like Keenan Allen sucks. Like, Keenan Allen could stay on this team another year or two and be fine. So, yeah, I still like him. The guy below him, too, Jaden Higgins, I've kind of had him in this range the entire time, and I haven't really moved him down, moved him up. He finally caught a touchdown last week, but a lot of those guys were all hurt. I'm kind of hoping this is his spot to kind of get going. I would like to see the Texans move ahead here with Nico and Higgins on the outside and Jalen Noll in the slot, and I think they'd be set. Like, yeah, you can throw some Christian Kirk in there, but he can't stay healthy. Like, he's been hurt like 3 years in a row now. But I think the two young kids are better than him.
I think what DeMeco Ryans and the front office brass, I think what the Texans have realized over these last couple weeks is the path forward is probably just cutting Christian Kirk, you know, sooner rather than later, and truthfully trading, or if you can get off of the Nico Collins extension, because these receivers are pretty good. Jalen Noll could do everything that Christian Kirk can at his point in his career. Jaden Higgins, Xavier Hutchinson, they could, you know, as a tandem probably can give you what Nico Collins really can. And Nico's great. We love Nico, but he's hurt. You know, he's been a guy that's battled that demon his whole NFL career. So if for a team like that needs so many other things fixed, I could see that being the path moving forward, starting as soon as this offseason. If the money lines up, I don't look at that crap until I absolutely have to. Right. So I think it's worth valuing Higgins in this tier because this tier is super interesting. Like you mentioned, old number ones, young number twos with a couple of lottery tickets sprinkled in. But I think at this point, it's, you know, if you're not contending, would you rather have Jaden Higgins or Khalil Shakir? I think I'd rather have Higgins. And if I'm competing, maybe I want Shakir. So that's this is the tier where it's really dependent on your outlook of 2025 and maybe even 26. So I think having him inside of this tier makes sense. And we've seen the flashes. We can't ignore the positives just because we want to kind of mitigate risk.
Yeah. And then, like I said, too, a lot of the older guys are in this tier, like Davante Adams, Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs, Debo, McLaurin, Sutton, DJ Moore. So all those guys are kind of in this same tier, too, with all these guys. If you had to pick, like, one of those older guys that I mentioned for the rest of the season, who's the guy that you'd be picking?
Rest of season? So in this tier, the guy that I'm buying into if I'm a contender is Jalen Waddle. Think a little bit of that, you know, in Dynasty, you can't completely forget about the age, even when you're competing. And he's still 26. He's going to be 27 mm-hmm. real soon. So he's getting to that kind of that cliff here in terms of what direction you kind of want to take your vets and rookies and all that scale. But the schedule looks great. He's going to be the number one. They've pumped up the targets. The numbers are there. He's been a super productive guy. So that's who I'm buying if I'm looking to win. There is a guy, though, in this tier that I am buying if I am not a contender. But I'm retooling. This isn't a full teardown, but if I'm, you know, dealing with injuries and I just can't get it right, or just, you know, my players aren't playing to expectation, I'm going to buy DJ Moore if I'm not contending. Because DJ Moore is going to be free soon. You know, you keep seeing the number on, like, markets like Heap Trade Cut, Sync. It's going to continue to fall. But I've kind of done a little bit of deep dive on this offense, and I've come to the conclusion that Caleb Williams sucks.
Yeah.
Caleb sucks, and you know this. I was probably even saying this last week. I have been a believer in Caleb. I have kind of chased some of the numbers in his profile a little too heavily, but now I've seen enough, EV, in what we got when we look at Caleb Williams. We have the scripted first drive of the season in his matchup with the Cowboys. If you take those things away, it's been a dreadful season. He's had good matchups. Last week against Ravens, he should have tore them up. He had 280-something yards, no touchdowns. He's just getting worse and worse. His completion percentage is, you know, worse and worse over the month of October. Caleb Williams stinks. And I don't know what they do, but we have seen teams take a quarterback early only to move on in short order. And I know that's what, you know, Ben Johnson took the, in his interview, he said, I took this job for Caleb Williams. You could change your mind. Because at this point, EV, tell yourself, if you close your eyes and picture this offense with these weapons and Daniel Jones, these offensive weapons, Ben Johnson and Sam Darnold versus Caleb Williams, are we not talking about the Bears as one of the best teams in the NFC overall?
Yeah, I mean, it very well could be. I don't see
their
why
defense
not.
Has been pretty heavy on takeaways. I know last week they took away zero, but they've been a pretty takeaway heavy defense. And the weaponry, Luther Burden, Colston Loveland, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, an improved offensive line. If you just are able to run the Ben Johnson offense, like, what would Jared Goff do with this offense? Unfathomable things, EV. I mean, if he could just learn to get comfortable, which is something you can't really teach. He looks like Kyler Murray. And we just talked about Kyler Murray. And that's not good. That's not good. And you have to wonder, does he have a soft benching? You know, I know it's like a term being joked around a lot in the NFL right now. People use it as a joke, and I kind of am too. But, I mean, we see in baseball, oh, guy gets a phantom injury, sit him on the bench, give him a chance to recalibrate. Or does he just have the cojones to say, no, we're going to do what the Panthers did to Bryce Young. We're going to put in Tyson Bagent because I just don't think Caleb gives the best chance to win. So for me, whether they move on from DJ Moore or they get a different quarterback, I just see better days ahead for a guy like Moore who still shows it in flashes. I mean, he's tough as nails. You see him make big plays. He can still make the plays with the ball in his hands. He's durable. So I could see like this cratering of value from now to the end of the season only to be like, oh, wow, look at DJ Moore, wide receiver 14 in 2026 for the, you know, X team. I don't know what team. I don't have a team in mind yet. But or just look at this. They had the balls to move on from Caleb, and look at this offense absolutely sing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think better days are ahead for DJ Moore. I mean, so cheap guys can help you too.
Yeah, there's plenty of young quarterbacks in the NFL that need receivers like this.
That's right.
Jackson Dart, Drake May, you know, mm-hmm. Cam Ward could use a fucking guy like this. Like,
right.
There's plenty of young quarterbacks in the NFL that could definitely use a guy like DJ Moore. And if Keenan Allen at his age can get it done, DJ Moore can get it done for another mm-hmm. 5-6 years too. So
right.
The one older guy in this tier that I like for the rest of the season, I like Courtland Sutton. He's just like super consistent. He has, you know, a dud game here or there, but usually he's getting you in PPR leagues, he's getting you double digits every week. This week up against Houston, you know, if he gets lined up with Stingley, probably most of the game might be one of those rougher games. But after that, man, he's got a beat up Raiders team, which he should smoke on Thursday night. Like the Broncos mm-hmm. always have that one Thursday night game where they put up like 77 points. That might be that game. He still has to play Kansas City twice. Their bye weeks there, week 12 at Washington. Washington isn't that good on defense. The Raiders again, and then going into the fantasy playoffs, he gets the Packers at home. Like, you know, nobody on the Packers defense scares me. The Jags have been okay, but they just got torched by Davante Adams and the Rams. And then week 17, Christmas Day against the Chiefs again. So, like, Courtland Sutton's got some nice matchups ahead. That's a guy I would definitely buy some if I could.
I don't have facts to back this up, but it just feels like the games he duds, if you watch the game, it was a touchdown that was called back. It was a drop. Right. It was a mistake. He was just a catch away from making his numbers.
Right. Yep. All right. Let's go down now to tier six and kind of talk about some of the guys that have impressed me. I have, like three of the Packers receivers in here. I have Dobbs, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson. I just moved Watson up quite a bit since he came back from the injury, but I could see Watson leapfrogging pretty much all of these Packers guys. I was pretty impressed with him on Sunday night. Romeo Dobbs has been damn good this year, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just been very consistent. Jaden Reed should be coming back here soon. What's your kind of read on the Packers receivers? I think it's... they're kind of hard to predict right now. I think, you know, I was listening to Josh Norris earlier of Underdog, and he kind of brought it up that, like, the Packers offense, like, each play is designed for that player. Like,
that's right.
Okay, this is a Tucker Kraft play. This is a Romeo Dobbs play. This is a Christian Watson play. And it's like they don't really deviate off of that. So that's like that's why the ball gets spread around to so many different players. And one week it could be a Tucker Kraft week. One week it could be a Dobbs week. And it's just how their game plan is designed.
I think overall I'm just avoiding all of them. Because, like you said, it just becomes a nightmare week to week. But I think value in a vacuum for each guy is, you know, it's there. If I roster a Christian Watson, I'm not going to just dump him. If I've been stashing a Jaden Reed, I don't feel comfortable getting rid of him because what are you getting for Jaden Reed? A 26th third at this point?
Right, yeah.
It just feels like if I'm buying one of these guys, you could take the cheapest approach option. I think that's fine. I just don't know why you would buy because we have 12 points out of Christian Watson. He looks like the number one. But then next week, all of a sudden, it's two deep balls to Matthew Golden. Then the week after that, it's 15,000 runs to Josh Jacobs. Such a balanced offense, so many viable weapons, but there is no guy. There is no the guy. Because even when Christian Watson was cooking, it was still, you know, oh, wow, that was Dobbs' day. I didn't expect it. Or if it was Dobbs cooking, oh, wow, Jaden Reed out of nowhere. There goes Jaden Reed. Seems like the constants in this offense is the running back and the tight end.
Let's see some other guys in this tier. So what do you think of Jacoby Myers? Like, he's a guy that's been rumored to be traded here. Like, I have him 48th right now. Do you think he is somebody going forward that you kind of rely on at all? Or what are your thoughts on him?
Jacoby Myers, I have so many places because if you use the warp tool, you know, southharmonyff.com/warp, He has been a warp monster over the last few years. So the leagues that you're in never value him as much as they should, so he was always a buy for me. So now I'm faced with a decision. What do I do? right now, I'm hoping for a great game this week against the Jaguars, and then I can sell. I don't see a situation being better for him anywhere else as it's been for him on the Raiders over these last few years. Even on the Raiders, it's probably not a great situation because at some point, Bowers comes back. At some point, they're going to have to start looking. Let's see what they got in Jack Besh and some of their other young receivers. It feels like he's going to be traded. I mean, he was on record a week ago saying, yeah, I still want to be traded. And if he goes to a contender, he's not going to go there to get the volume that he was getting for the Raiders. He's going to be a good player for that offense. So he's still going to hold value. So I'm not going to dump him, but I am going to look to see if I can capitalize on it and get around two. Can I downsize in the market but stay in this tier? Like, can I move Jacoby Myers for Trey Harrison a pick? That's something I might be looking to do if I'm not overly contending. And if I am contending, I'm looking for better players than Jacoby Myers.
Okay. Another one in this tier that I have completely sunk, and I think I'm just done with him, is Calvin Ridley. He was supposed to be the guy this year for the Titans. Obviously, the Titans have been a train wreck, but like he couldn't even get anything going. I think he's had one game over 100 yards this year, and that's it. Like, he's already in his lower 30s here in age. I don't know if he's going to be back with this Titans team. Like, they could just move on from him. What do you kind of think about him? Like, that's just one guy that he's kind of... There's another guy, too, that I've moved down probably over 40 spots since I updated this in this same tier. But, yeah, I think Ridley and that player is probably in the same boat for me. I'm just kind of done.
Me, too. This is a get what you can. Salvage it for parts. Because, remember, Ridley, you got to give him credit. I mean, he was an older prospect coming from Bama, and we always made that point known when you talked about Ridley. You remember he's an older prospect, and then when he got suspended for gambling, remember it's going to be tough for him to come back. He's an older prospect, and he did, to his credit, come back pretty good. He was pretty good even last year. But this year, unfortunately, seems like it might be a cold douse of water to the face, kind of a tough realization of age comes for all these players. We've seen a massive fall off from Derrick Henry, from Mike Evans, and Mike Evans, was his streak's broken. It's awful. And Calvin Ridley, you can put on that list as well, that just eventually they do get a little too old to be a elite performer. And I think that is what we're seeing with Ridley, another injury, another missed season. And I just don't know what can happen for him going forward where he is the guy that you feel comfortable playing on a week-to-week basis. Yeah, kind of like Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett was just Tyler Lockett defining time, and then it was just gone. Blink of an eye, nothing.
Right. Yeah, it's like that 5-6 leg parlay, and it just never hits.
That's
Calvin Ridley, and that's why he got suspended for it.
He did.
The other guy that I have sank probably at least 30, 40 spots and that I'm just done with is Jerry Jeudy. Like, this guy sucks.
He sucks. I mean, PFF, I think he's graded as like a he has a lower PFF grade than Kyle Williams on the Patriots.
Yeah, and he doesn't even play.
And he doesn't, right. Jeudy's like leading the league or second in the league in drops. He sucks. He's so easy to cover. He sucks. He's done.
I saw or listened to Josh Norris and those guys today. He is like 30. That was 39th, but it was somewhere in the 30s in like expected points for, just based off of his usage and all that he's getting targets. Do you want to know where he ranks in his actual points?
Like wide receiver 80?
102.
Oh, my God.
Supposed to be like a top 40 receiver, and with all of his bullshit, he's 102.
He was a top 100 pick. I think he was a top 70 pick in most dog draft formats.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. Fuck.
And listen, he could emerge somewhere, but it's going to be one of those situations where he's number four in a depth chart. There's two injuries. Like, oh, wow, Jerry Jeudy just had three games with 20 targets over the span of two, 3 games. Yeah. But in terms of his value ever restoring, I don't see it.
I mean, the Browns gave him an extension, so like they're almost like locked into him for another year or two, which is fine. Like, he's still a receiver in the NFL, but obviously it's not all his fault. Like, the quarterback play has been bad. He has dropped the ball quite a bit, though. That is on him.
And where's the quarterback getting better? Like, where's the situation going to improve? Is Shador an improvement? I don't know.
I mean, 2027 when they draft Julian Sain.
Yeah, that could be a resurgence, but they'll have Jordan Tyson or or Malachi Lemon or some other receiver from the 26 draft.
Yeah, that would be nice. Let's end on the positive one for these for this tier. Two guys I moved up, and I think could probably move up a little bit further if they keep this up, is Kayshon Boutte and Troy Franklin. What have you thought about those two?
Franklin wasn't a player, coming out of college. You know, when he was coming out of Oregon, I wasn't excited about the prospect. He did get the fourth round draft capital, so that kept his value a little bit there. But I've been very encouraged overall from what I've seen, because this is an offense that we love. We try to get players in an offense, you know, led by Sean Payton and operated by Bo Nix, but they don't have like that future number one locked in guy. We like Sutton. He's the number one wide receiver, but he's 30. Troy Franklin, I think, has done enough, especially over these last couple weeks, where he might be the heir apparent. And I think his price is still cheap enough. He's still obtainable in Dynasty. So I think I'm looking to buy into a guy like Troy Franklin as much as I can. Great tear down candidate, because if a contender is looking to, you know, get something more solid, I could see a contender thinking that they're selling high on a Franklin to get up to a Davante Adams, to get up to a Stephon Diggs, to get up to a DJ Moore. And that contender, you know, slide back to Franklin, get the pick with it, get the running back prospect with it, whatever, however you need to build. And I think that's a good approach. But I am encouraged overall. I think this is a guy who has some helium in the profile, and it's good to see him kind of come up your ranks.
Okay. What about Boutte being, you know, Patriots guy? What have you kind of heard about him? Is he kind of in their future to still be a top guy? I just don't think he's ever going to be the alpha number one, but he could be a solid number two.
I like Boutte. And matter of fact, I think this is a guy for me that does have a pretty big distinction between best ball dynasty and lineup. Mm-hmm. In best ball, I'm just going to keep – there's nothing really, I think, in the trade market that would convince me to trade him. Not saying that he's untouchable. I just don't think anyone would approach me with an offer in which I would move on from Boutte, because he is young. He does have a rapport dating back to last year with Drake May. You know, even when Drake May was with the number twos, it was with Kayshon Boutte. Boutte does have a college profile that did trend to potentially be a first-round pick at one point in time. Didn't materialize, obviously. Patriots took him in round six. But I think in terms of my lineup leagues, he is also a guy. Like, if you're in a league with another Patriots player, another Patriots fan, I think I want to sell high. He's receiver 35 on a points per game basis. He has 30 targets, 23 of them for catches. Of those 23 catches, 5 of them are touchdowns. The math just ain't mathin'. It cannot maintain that touchdown level. His touchdown rate is higher than his target share. It's a number that just cannot sustain. And team building wise, the Patriots, regardless of how good Boutte is, will be looking to upgrade wide receiver. Diggs isn't getting any younger. He's been great for the offense. Boutte's been great for the offense. Hell, Mac Hollins has done things in the intangibles and as a receiver for the Patriots. But still, they get a call from Joey Gladstone over in Jacksonville, and they have an opportunity to get Brian Thomas. They're going to do it. Yeah. Maybe they spend for a George Pickens. There is a big allocation of resources that will be put into the wide receiver position in short order. And if that happens, you know, Boutte, I'm not going to say his value gets decimated, because, I mean, 30 targets over 8 games, that usage is so minimal, you could get 2 receivers and that may not go down. It's just you cashed in on the efficiency, but in best ball, you don't have to dictate how that maintains, because he will have big plays. It just won't come in with this efficiency, because also Drake May's been one of the most efficient quarterbacks in football with a deep game. It's been unbelievable, and it's just numbers that don't typically sustain.
Could Mike Vrabel want to reunite with A.J. Brown?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've seen this offense, how good it's been with a Diggs. Imagine what it would be like with 2 Diggs, like 2 QB-friendly alphas. Boutte's not that. He's good. He's helping them out. But again, I think that it's just unsustainable.
Yep. And then the last one I wanted to bring up, too, is Jalen Noll. I kind of mentioned him earlier. Like, just kind of watching him play the last 2 weeks, man, he's damn good. He's going to be a really good slot receiver in this league. He's going to be a super friendly fantasy target here for C.J. Stroud going forward. I'm kind of interested to see how this works when Tank Dell comes back too. Now, I'm not expecting Tank Dell to come back and smash or anything because he suffered a very horrific injury as well. But man, Jalen Knoll, I think he's already better than Christian Kirk. So I think the Texans should kind of stick with him as their slot receiver. And I think that's going to be a guy that he might move up two tiers by the end of the season for me if he keeps this up.
Jalen Knoll should be every rebuilder's prime time target. Mm-hmm. It's still not quite in the forefront of everyone's mind. You know, a lot of teams aren't holding him too tightly just yet, but I think we've seen enough. And when you watch him play and you know his style dating back to, you know, ISU, he reminds me of someone, EV. Okay. And I don't know if this happens because the outcome is predicated on a pathway to seeing this type of volume. But a big injury to Nico that takes him out for the rest of the season. Maybe they just straight drop Christian Kirk, trade Nico. I don't know. But remember 2021. Mm-hmm. Remember Amon-Ra St. Brown. Relatively, didn't have a ton of value, flashed here and there over his rookie season. Then we cut to week 13 of that season. 25, 15, 24, 26, 35, 26. Those were his fantasy point totals to end that season, and he's never looked back. Couldn't you see a trajectory like Knoll? If he is the if there's injuries to CJ Stroud's guys, and he is the number one, he has shown to me that he could be a guy that not only warrants volume, but can convert on a deep basis, can get you, 100 yards on just five catches, even though his primary role will be a slot merchant, just kind of that guy in the middle with high volume. And I'm not saying we're seeing it now, but we could be talking about this, E, a month from now, a month and a half from now, and be like, remember week 5, 10 fantasy points that was followed by 12 and 11 that then became 15, 17, 20? Like, I can see that outcome for a guy who's a great route runner, good speed guy, checks a ton of boxes in terms of the analytical profile, prospect profile. You know, his best, he's compared to guys like, the best route runners in the league when he came in this year. Trod McShay's, you and I both watched that show, talking about him like he's like a Rashee Rice type. I mean, there was plenty of comparisons made on this specific player that I could see being an absolute monster. So before the price comes up, I'm buying if I'm rebuilding. And I think if I'm contending, he's the guy I'm trying to have as a throw-in. You know, you're trying to get the vet, but you know what? Throw in Knoll too, and I'll give you the third you're looking for. I'll pay you back on your initial investment. I'll give you the second, but add Knoll. Whatever it is, I think he should be a guy people should be targeting more aggressively.
Okay. All right, let's go over, unless you got any other receiver. You got any other receivers you want to talk about
before we move on? No, I actually really want to talk about Knoll, so I'm glad you brought him up.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll end that one on Knoll, and we'll switch over to the tight ends now. I think the top six is pretty locked in for me. I just got to make one change on it. But Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, still my top tight ends. Tyler Warren, who I've moved up into my top three. I flip-flopped him in Loveland, another one I got wrong. Laporta, Kittle, and Tucker Kraft would be my top six. Mm-hmm. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely do. I think Tucker Kraft is a talent you don't put back in the box. I don't care who's healthy or who's on the field. He's highlighted. His playmaking ability, his connection with Love, that is something that is going to withstand time. And, being a Patriots fan, watching Tom Brady, those offenses, you would change the pieces, but the mainstays, the pillars stayed the same, whatever iteration of the offense it was. And we saw different players because Brady played for 100 years, but the one that always stuck out, the Gronk years. You'd have Edelman, you'd have Gronk, and then you'd have whether it be whatever big body receiver of the year that they had. Then you'd have Amendola, Brandon Lloyd, Chris Hogan. There was all these other players that would come and go, but it was always Gronk that made it. When it was nut hugging time, when it was nut cutting time, it was Gronk. I see that being the move for Kraft. So I think in dynasty tight end, we don't typically value it because they don't bring constant value year to year relative to other positions. But Tucker Kraft is one that if you have him, there's just no point in tearing down unless that additional piece is just through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, even kind of just thinking about it now, like, man, I could probably swap Kraft and Laporta and have Kraft at 4 over Laporta. Like, I don't think that's crazy either.
No, I agree. I think that the only thing I would say in pushing that back is Laporta has a clearer path to consistent volume based on the other weapons, mm-hmm. where we could see chaos mode because of how many pass catchers there are in Green Bay. I just think talent for talent, though, you are making the right call if you put Kraft above Laporta.
Okay. All right, so my next tier in tier three, I have an interesting one that I've moved up quite a bit, and it's a guy you were high on in the draft process, and that's Harold Fannin Jr. I've put him above Njoku now. I think Harold Fannin is kind of locked in here as one of the best receiving tight ends, young receiving tight ends in the league going forward. And honestly, I could probably move him up a couple more spots. Like, he's probably better than Kincaid. He's probably better than Kyle Pitts. So, yeah, Harold Fannin to the moon.
Harold Fannin to the moon. He's an interesting piece because of the position. If I'm a contender, I'm selling him all day long. If it helps elevate my chances of winning, if I can get a veteran tight end plus a second running back, a starting wide receiver, I'm doing that because it's just tight ends. It's just the nature of the tight end. And we're talking minimal premium. Obviously, we've changed our tune in elevated premiums. But he's also my number one target. If I have a struggling team with Kittle, Hawkinson, a struggling team with Ferguson. I know Ferguson's a little bit younger, but I think he kind of regresses back to what we know him to be. 0 points isn't going to be his new norm that he saw, but I think the days of him getting 15 targets are over. I mean, they're over with CeeDee Lamb back. So if I have Ferguson, Hawkinson, Kittle, Kelsey, if I have one of those tight ends that someone who's with, if I have a Dallas Goedert, and a contender wants to get the guy who's just overperforming at the position, Fannin is the player I'm tearing down to constantly because the usage, the way they're using him, the flexibility. I mean, his touchdown came out of the fullback position against the Patriots last week. Kevin Stefanski accounts for 44 every single pass play that he draws up, and that's a rare thing. And it only will improve as the offense, quarterback, all those things improve. So he's a guy that, he should be on your list because before not, he's going to be I can see as high as a tier two receiver in Dynasty.
Okay. I didn't want to talk a little about Dalton Kincaid. So he was somebody like, last season and just didn't work out. I think he had an injury pretty much all year that he dealt with, and he's kind of come along this year. He's catching a lot of touchdowns. He's been injured the last couple weeks though with I believe it was a knee, and should be back this week here in a big game against Kansas City. Didn't play 2 weeks ago, and then they had their bye. So yeah, kind of Dalton Kincaid. I think he's somebody that. I don't think he's ever going to be some, dominant tight end like the Kittles and Kelsey's. Like, he's not going to be out there for 90% of the snaps just because he's not a great blocker. He's going to have to do all of his damage on 50, 60% of the work. But the other problem is, too, like, another guy I need to probably move up even more is Jackson Hawes. And it's because he's an elite blocker, and he's going to be on the field quite a bit. Like, and he's not like a terrible receiver. Like, he's never going to be, Kraft or Kittle or those guys either, but he's going to be somebody that's out there 60% of the time because he's such a good blocker. And then he ends up, catching a touchdown or two here and there. Like, in best ball, he's definitely a good one. But Kincaid, man, he's somebody I still like, and Josh Allen talked about it preseason. Like, hey, I got to get this guy going. I got to get him more touchdowns, more catches, and all that. And it's starting to happen a little bit. And I think hopefully he gets over this injury and gets over it, and he can start making some more plays. But I think that's somebody down the stretch here that could be a big fantasy contributor.
I fucking hate Dalton Kincaid, and it's not because of his who he is as a player. It's not really even because of the production. It's because you look at this guy and you look at some of his metrics. He should be an elite tight end. Like, we should be talking about him as high as Tucker Kraft. And that's not hyperbole. On a points per game basis, he's tight end 8. Okay, so that's removing his injury games. Just when he's on the field, he's still a top 10 tight end. And you should probably keep him in that range. You have him at tight end 10. I think that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But he's top five in these key metrics at tight end. He's number one first downs per route run, number one in yards per route run, number two in yards per target, number four in yards per team pass attempt. He should be Trey McBride if you look at these numbers, mm-hmm. and he's not. And I think that comes down to, like you mentioned, his ability to block, his ability to be on the field, because we see the big donkey tight ends catch touchdowns because the big donkeys are on the field for the third and one from the two play action. And if you're not on the field as a tight end in those plays, you aren't always able to reach your ceiling. And I think that's why ultimately I'm okay kind of playing the market on a guy like Kincaid. Like if you have him at tight end 10, and you do, and you're able to get top eight value, I'm selling. If you don't have Kincaid and he's being sold at, you know, tight end 18, 15 value, I'm buying. It really just depends on the market. Now, how I'm playing my Dalton Kincaid shares right now is I am looking to find a decent, semi-reliable, at worst, tight end one so that he could be on my bench, because those numbers look like a guy who will take off. And I think the draft capital, the situation, the quarterback he's attached to, all of that lends to a situation where we're looking at Dalton Kincaid going on an absolute tear. So I'm not trying to get rid unless I'm getting, you know, a clear tier up. You know, you can move Kincaid for a piece to get Brock Bowers, who's been hurt, and maybe his price is a little deflated. Something like that, sure. But other than that, I would like to put him on the bench, see if I can bring in a Kelsey short term, see if I can bring in a Dallas Goedert short term, see if I can get Mark Andrews for free, who has a really good schedule here and on out, and Lamar's coming back. I'm trying to put him on my bench, let him marinate, because the analytics is there. The numbers look like an elite tight end. It just isn't coming to fruition for some reason. So I think I would just urge to be careful on a guy like Kincaid, but he's been so fucking frustrating.
Right. Okay, so you like Andrews going forward. I'll pivot this real quick to redraft. He's available in one of my redraft leagues right now. Would you pick him up? I have Kincaid and Njoku.
Yeah, I would drop Njoku for Andrews.
Okay. All right. I think I can get behind that.
It starts this week.
That move right now.
It starts this week. We saw, you know, Kyle Pitts get 13 fantasy points on really no volume with Kirk Cousins against the Dolphins. Dolphins have been pretty weak against that position this year. And Lamar, the Ravens, you know, no more ping pong tables in the locker room. They're looking to make a statement on Thursday night. And we've seen Andrews, we've seen this, we've read this book before. Andrews is dead. He's no more. And then what does he do? Two touchdowns, he goes on a little bit of a tear. And right now his price is just free 99. Now, in Dynasty, I'm not valuing it long term. I'm not pushing it down. I think it's going to take a new situation for him to have consistent value. But in a redraft league where you can scoop him up, fuck yeah.
Yeah, and of course, 56 minutes ago, he got picked up. So there goes. Yeah. So the elephant in the room that everybody wants to talk about at the tight end position, we might as well get into him. I have him at 18, and I honestly could probably move him up at least a couple more spots, at least one for sure. That's Aronde Gadsden, the stud tight end here for the Chargers. I mean, they like him a lot. Herbert loves him. Like, he's just one of these freak receiving tight ends, you know, wide receiver in a tight end's body, basically. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on him? Do you think this is for real? Do you think he could be, you know, one of these, you know, kind of like Darren Waller was when he was younger? Like, could he be the next, like, Darren Waller type?
I'm going to talk both sides of my mouth here, so I'm going to say two opposite things that can actually both be true, but I do think he's for real. But I think you should sell in Dynasty, because it's the position. Tight ends, if you use the Warp Tool, which again, southharmonff.com, get the Warp Tool, you'll realize there are outliers at tight end, but they can be replaced. Even the outliers can typically be replaced when you lay that map over like the trade market, like Keep Trade Cut, because you're jumping in to a less, you know, you're taking your Gadsden and you're selling high, getting another tight end. But you're also getting a startable wide receiver on a weekly basis. You're getting the running back two that you've desperately needed in your contention run. And people have already gotten nuts online. I'm looking to sell this tight end and a first for Gadsden. Cool.
I've seen it.
So it's like, yeah, I'll take the first and the other tight end, because like, we We just got burned by this with QJ. Not saying he is QJ, but as it goes up, it is going to come down. He's not just the greatest tight end in the league. He's just not. He's good. I like his profile, but it's funny. The things that he was knocked on coming in out of Syracuse are the things that we're revering now. Too much like a receiver. Doesn't block all that well. Doesn't have the biggest body, the biggest frame to be a everyday tight end, every down tight end. But now he's utilizing that as a premier pass catcher. So just by the nature of the position, I think you could sell high. But I do think he's for real. I do think he's for real. But Kyle Pitts was for real as a rookie. And what have we done with Kyle Pitts over the course of his career? We've ripped our fucking hair out. Yeah. Sam Laporta was the tight end one. And what the fuck has Sam Laporta done for our dynasty shares? He's absolutely drove us nuts. So like, let's just not get burned by the tight end situation. Unless, again, this is a 2.5 premium, 2.0 premium. This is a mega premium league that neutralizes the position. But if it doesn't, you gotta tear down and recoup more assets. It's just the way to do it.
So here's some trades that have happened recently with involving Arundhé Gadsden. So I don't know if these are, dynasty or whatever, but we're just going to assume they are. Gadsden for Travion Henderson.
What are we doing here? And I bet you could get that team's David Njoku, mm-hmm. Colston Loveland, Travis Kelce, Mason Taylor. You're getting their second tight end with that deal for free.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? Brian Thomas for Gadsden. That happened.
What are we doing here, people?
Somebody traded Bucky Irvin, got Gadsden and Garrett Wilson.
That's a diesel trade.
Yeah.
Because of Garrett Wilson. Let's be clear. Getting Arundhé Gadsden as a throw-in to Bucky Irving is great, but it's getting Garrett Wilson that makes me want to do that deal.
Yeah. How about this one? Somebody got Troy Franklin, a 27 first, and a 2026 second for Gadsden.
I mean, this is what dreams are made of. That person is going to be so pissed when Jeremiah Smith is on your fantasy team because of their idiocracy. Like,
yeah,
we can't predict the future. We couldn't predict. We're at week 9, Eric. We could not predict the future 9 weeks ago, and people are already confident that they're predicting the future from a year from now, 18 months from now, 24 months from now. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Cash in on Gadsden. Just be careful while doing so. Don't get cute, because that's how you get hurt in Dynasty. Yeah. But this position, unless it's massive premium, is where dreams are made of. Getting a 27 first and a guy we just talked about being a potential emerging wide receiver one for an offense we want to be a part of for a tight end that you picked up or you got in the fifth round. Like, oh, what's the saying? You know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Don't be a hog.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Gadsden a lot. I had him on my C2C teams. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good ranking for him, just outside the top 12, but right in the middle of the next tier. I think that's fair. But I also agree with you. If somebody's coming at you with a crazy price, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like him going forward. I think I want him on most of my teams. Like I think he's going to be a good asset. Player. But if somebody's willing to overpay that much, and then I can go pick up Theo Johnson or AJ Barner off waivers and start him, I'm doing it. So I'm with you on that. Let's see. Any of these? Some of these other tight ends I do like that I've moved quite a bit. Like AJ Barner, I've moved up a ton. He's at my tight end 22 right now, and he continues to play really, really well. Theo Johnson, I like here with Jackson Dart. He's growing with Jackson Dart, still really young. He's still out there for 80% of the snaps, so I like that. Cade Otton is getting going again. I don't know if it's because of the injuries, because like early on in the season when it was Abuka, Godwin, Evans, like Otton was hardly getting used, but now all the injuries have piled up again. Otton's killing it again, so I don't know if it's just because of that. Jatavion Sanders just came back from injury. He was supposed to have the big breakout season. Finally started playing this week again. So I'm interested to see where he goes from here. Gunnar Helm for the Titans. He's kind of been a little bit better than Chig the last couple weeks. He caught a touchdown this past week too. I think Gunnar Helm's a guy that can maybe move up a spot or two here as well going forward. Is there any other tight ends that you kind of want to talk about or highlight?
I think Brenton Strange is a nice guy to put in the back end of your bench right now. Just, you know, in Dynasty Leagues, you know, our rosters are so deep, you can stash a few players. I think he's good to have there. Only 24 years old, coming back. And if there were to be a shakeup at the wide receiver position, we've seen in the Liam Cohen offense, you know, as the Jaguars head coach, that Brent Strange has a place. He has a role. There's volume to be fed his way. So, again, we could be looking at him at wide receiver 27 now. Next year, no Brian Thomas Jr. We could be looking at him at a tight end 15. There's a lot of growth there for a guy like him in that offense. So I think this tier is my – I would call it the get these guys on the back end of your bench tier. Mm-hmm. And see who kind of matures, you know, who kind of matures, who becomes what. Because even Jatavion, he's going to be kind of left for dead. Only 22 years old. He's only 3 months older than Aronde Gadsden. So, I mean, he's still so young. There's a lot of opportunity for him to get better. So, I think this is the tier of players you just throw on the back end of your bench and just kind of be excited for them to pop potentially over the next couple of years.
The one more I wanted to bring up that I think could pop, they just had their bye, and usually, you know, you get the post bye week rookie bump, and that's Terrence Ferguson. Now, they are using four different fucking tight ends, so that pisses me off.
But if they use one, it's going to be valuable.
Yeah, I mean, like, Higbee's kind of, like, toast. Like, he hasn't really been, you know, hitting like he has in the past. But they have used, you know, Parkinson and Davis Allen. Ferguson's starting to get going the last couple weeks. Like, they've been using him more. I'm kind of hoping, like, after the bye here, he finally gets going. So if you're looking to sell your Dalton Schultz, who's, you know, playing good right now, you want to sell your Hunter Henry or Theo Johnson, Kate Otten, Chig, you know, one of those guys, like, tearing down to Terrence Ferguson, I don't think is a terrible play right now.
Yeah, that's a good call. If you rostered the entire tight end room for the Rams in best ball, one of them has made your lineup a couple times. So if you can make that one 100%. Guy every week, that's how you get a valuable tight end.
Any other tight ends you wanted to mention before we get on out of here?
One last one I just have to bring up. If the injury to Joe Flacco isn't too severe, Noah Fant is your contender buy at this position. We've seen 2 weeks now where he's been pretty decent for tight end for the Bengals. Athletic, he's the guy over Gesicki ever since they brought him in. And I could see him going on a run if Flacco can stay on the field, where you're kind of shocked that he's a weekly top 12 type of option. So contenders, bring him aboard. He's absolutely free 99 on the market. So a guy like Noah Fant cannot be completely forgotten about. Only 27 years old.
Okay. All right. We're ready to do America's favorite game, and then we'll get you on out of here.
Yeah, baby.
All right. I got a twofer for you this week. Since it is Friday, it'll be Halloween. So next day that you're listening to this, tomorrow would be Halloween. So let's go ahead. Let's do two Halloween-themed ones. Maddie, what is your favorite Halloween candy, and what was, like, your favorite costume that you wore as a kid or that you remember?
We did Halloween candy last year, I think. I mean, last week.
Did we?
I think we did Halloween candy last week, I feel like.
We did the documentaries, the sports documentaries.
That's right. So what did I talk about candy? I was talking about candy. It was something. Oh, we talked about Unstarter Shit, which you guys should check out every single Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time on the South Harmon Fantasy Football Channel. So that's where we talked about favorite candies. Yep. So it was not here. I will talk about here. Favorite candy. My favorite candy that I get is the Mini Twix bars. Love the Mini Twix bars. Go crazy for them. But, of course, I'm a slut for all of them. I love my Milky Way Snickers. I'll grab a Butterfingers. It's just a tough time of the year. You know, I got kids. If you got little kids, it's just you try to be healthy, and then it's just so available between what they get from school, their dance class, their grandparents, when we actually go trick-or-treating. There's so much candy, but there are three little girls. They can only eat so much, even though they try to eat it all. There's just so much left over that I just pick. But I would say my king of the candy bars is Twix. I love the Twix.
Twix? Okay. Yeah, I always, you know, anything Reese's was always good. I love Hershey's cookies and cream. Ever since they invented
the kisses, the little bars, those are good.
The little bars,
yes.
The cookies and cream one, yes. Yep, those are always
low key
good.
Yeah,
yeah, Butterfingers, Crunch Bars, Twix is always good. I love Twix too, so I'm with you on that. Any of those, man, those are always good. And then,
don't you think that they're better? Okay. Don't you think that the candy bars, they're better when you get the trick or treat versions? than the big, like the, you go to the CVS, you go to where, whatever your convenience store is in your place, you get the full bars, they're great. But there's something about the bite size, just rip open the wrapper, throw it in, Reese's, Twix, Milky Way, that I just, I do love the bite size. I think the Halloween versions of these candies are elite.
Yeah, so you get your little taste there and get it. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And then how about your favorite costume that you ever wore or when you were a kid or whatever?
So this is not a great answer because the truth is when I was a kid, I was a little brat, didn't love Halloween, didn't love dressing up. And then when that wasn't a must, I immediately went into the neighborhood TPing, neighborhood egg fights, shaving cream fights. So there was many, many years where I was not dressing up. And pretty much those are the prime years of dressing up. There are two costumes that I really loved. One in college, which might be a little politically incorrect nowadays. Nothing too bad, but I loved this costume. I just dressed like, I was in college in 2003, 2004, so I was a big fan of hip-hop. So I just dressed with I had the Bape hoodie. I had my sneakers on that I wore anyway, so it wasn't really dressing up crazy. But, just accentuated the hip-hop features of that time. Had the headband on like Nelly, had the wristbands on, had the hoodie on, like I said, Bape hoodie. And then I brought with me, Evie, a stack of fake money. Okay. And I just kept throwing it in the air, and I called myself the weatherman. Which, it was fun. Yes. I was in college. We were at parties. We were having fun, and we were drinking, having a good time. So, it was just fake money. But I got a call from my buddy who was hosting the Halloween party that year. He was like, dude, get your ass back over here. And I was like, oh, no, what did I do? He's like, nothing too bad, but there's just paper money all over my fucking house, and I'm not picking it up. And I was like, all right, bet, because I did print out so much money because everyone would ask me, what are you? And I would say, yo, I'm the weatherman, baby. And I would just throw my money in the air and walk away. Yeah. Oh my God. So that was a fun one. And I'll say this year, I found my Halloween costume for the rest of my life. You know how, I don't know if there's any Parks and Rec. Did you watch Parks and Rec?
I've seen it, but not like a religious watcher.
So I was a religious watcher, love it. Ron Swanson, one of my favorite characters. Okay. In that show, he shows up to a Halloween party and he's a pirate. And she's like, oh, I love your Halloween costume. He goes, no, it is the Halloween costume. I wear it every year. I don't switch it up. This year, I just happened to be looking through my house. I have an old Tyler Seguin jersey. I have green swishy pants. I have boots. I'm Happy Gilmore this Halloween. And for the rest of my Halloweens, that will be my Halloween costume is Happy Gilmore. And I am elated because it works. You know what it is. It's comfortable. It's warm. And I'll just be able to go back to it every single year without having to buy new shit.
There you go. Okay. That's a good one. I think I've done this one before in the past, like last Halloween, but I'll bring it up again. I had definitely one of my favorite ones was, those... those masks you could buy at the store at Walmart or whatever. It's just a mask of like a person's face or whatever that you can throw on. It's like, leather or whatever the hell it is. I got a Stone Cold one year and had a, Stone Cold t-shirt on. So yeah, being Stone Cold Steve Austin one year, that was always cool. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of like similar to you going to a party. I bought a black Willie Beeman fucking jersey off of eBay. Got the wristband, got the headband or
the tilted headband. Yep.
Yeah. I think it was like one of the Under Armour skull caps. I think.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, the one that he wears, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Those and had the Willie Beeman jersey on. So yeah, doing Willie Beeman was probably one of my favorite movie characters of all time.
You didn't go full. Full Willie Beeman, though, if you know what I mean.
No, like, no, I didn't do the old face painting or anything.
There's no pictures out there in the ether that could get Evie in a lot of trouble, right?
No, I didn't go that far. But just dressed up like Willie Beeman, threw the jersey on and the skull cap, and had the wristband for the plays and stuff, and all that. So yeah, that was probably one of my more fun ones, but. I don't remember much from that night because that was during the days of the original Four Loko. If you know,
I
what
remember
that is.
Those days. We were probably just around the same. We both remember those days of Four Loko. One was fun. Yeah. Two was, three was death.
I did four in one night. This is not this night. It was a different night. Four in one night, I blacked out. Literally,
I blacked out after two.
Yeah, yeah. That stuff was crazy. Like, I remember bringing it to a bunch of college girls, and like half a fucking can, and they're just done.
And at the time, it was like $3.50 at the liquor store.
Yeah, me and my buddy, it was his sister. We went to her college, and we literally brought a fucking backpack full of them,
dude.
Like probably like 20, 24 of them.
Tasted like shit, but
some of them were good. Some were shit. Yeah.
What was your favorite Four Loko?
God, I don't remember which one it was. I want to say it was the red one, like the fruit punch, I think.
Yeah, the red one was up there, and the one I liked when I could find it was the white, yellow, and black camo. It was like a lemonade. It just like it cut the shittiness of whatever chemicals they were putting in you.
Right.
With that lemon, it was just good enough that you could like actually have some without being like, ugh.
Yeah.
But holy
cow!
I mean, I don't. We could have lost a generation of men and women if we would have kept the Four Loko around longer, I think.
Yeah, like that stuff, it hit for like, I mean, they still have it around now, but they toned it down.
It ain't the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. But yeah, like if you survive the original Four Loko, like it's crazy. I've seen some funny memes of like, you know, Donald Trump sitting at his desk signing the executive orders, and he holds it up and it says, "I am bringing back the original Four Loko," and you know, he's inside and stuff.
The kids these days could not handle without nervous and anxious and unfun the youth is right now. They couldn't handle that type of chemical balance in your body. They couldn't handle an old school Four Loko.
No, there ain't a chance in hell. Like it,
dude, we survived two things in our age group. We survived the Four Loko fad, and remember No Explode? Remember going to the gym with No Explode, the pre workout that just exploded your heart essentially. It was, or Jack 3D, all of these like just like uppers. They were just somehow canisting. They were putting, you know, absolute nitrous in cans when we were younger, just hoping to get us all hopped up.
Yeah. To go do stuff. Yeah, that's crazy. Oh man, good times for sure.
But, glad we survived them, and I'm glad I can enjoy a bourbon now, just sipping, not being an absolute degen, blacked out on juice from a can.
Right. Too funny. All right, well that's gonna wrap it up for this week, Matty. Appreciate you hopping on and doing this the last 2 weeks with me. We'll see you definitely tomorrow night or Thursday if you're listening to this. Thursday evening we'll be back for the walkthrough live on the YouTube channel. So make sure you guys come join us for that. But yeah, you got anything else before we get on out of here?
No, just keep hang out here at South Harbor. Make sure you subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify, rate, review, do all that good stuff. Just hook your boys up. I mean, we got the three channels, Rockin' and Rollin', Vibes, Dynasty, Fantasy. Make sure you're subscribed to all of them. Make sure you check us out. We're putting out content multiple times throughout the week on all three channels. Just keep rocking with us. And as always, get that Warp Tool.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely a big one. Waiver Wire Show drops every Tuesday, YouTube and audio. America's Game, obviously, every Thursday. Mm-hmm. Sunday, we got the Start Sit Show. All kinds of other podcasts dropping throughout the week. You know, you got Saturdays is Koopa's Grinding the Edge. You got Dan, I was on with Dan last night for the Fantasy Pipeline, the college show. So that was back. Should be in your feeds here soon if it's not already. So, yeah, we got all kinds of good stuff going on. So. With that, I'm Eric Vanek, NFL. You can follow me on X there. You can follow Maddie at Maddie Keenwom on X as well. And we'll be back next week for episode 118. We'll see you later.